This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, August 31st, 2025. Soul Food, the Meal. Given by Director of Spiritual Formation and Congregational Care, Emily Laser.
Anybody hungry? It's the second service, so the answer is probably yeah, real hungry. Good morning. Welcome to Connection Community Church. My name is Emily, and for those of you who are still getting to know us as we get to know you, I'm Emily Laser, and I'm the Director of Spiritual Formation and Congregational Care here. And I'm really excited as we dive into our last kind of lesson this week on soul food, right? That's what we've been talking about. I feel really lucky because I'm getting to talk about the best part of cooking, which is the eating, right? Right? Like, what's the whole point if you're not going to eat it, right? So we get to talk about the eating today. And if you've been tracking with us through this series, then you know we spent the first week, David talked about the ingredients in week one. And then last week for week two, he talked about the process and letting it cook. He said that phrase like a million times in there, right? Like letting it cook, letting it simmer. And so today we're talking about the eating. The best part, the eating. And we're not just talking about the eating, we're gonna dive into serving it up and serving the meal, because that's part of the eating as well. So before we dig in anymore, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing us here this morning. God, we pray you would speak to our hearts. You would just speak to us as we hear about serving your kingdom and doing your will, God, here on earth as it is in heaven. God, we just pray that you would ready our hearts, ready our minds and our ears and our thoughts, God, that we would just be able to hear what you're speaking to us today when it comes to serving. Amen. Okay, so food. Who loves food? Everybody loves food, right? Food is so good, right? Food is, it's great, right? Food is so delicious. What is, you don't have to shout out loud, but think about it. What is your favorite food? You know what I'm talking about, that like go-to food when you're just really, really hungry and you want something specific, what's that meal, right? Or you're going to a restaurant and you're like in the menu, making sure that that food is like in there, right? Everybody has a favorite food, and for me, just in case you want to know, my favorite food is buffalo chicken. Yeah, so I love me some buffalo chicken, and I don't care in what form. So I love buffalo chicken pizza, buffalo chicken wraps, subs, salad, stromboli, french fries, dip. I don't care. Any kind of buffalo chicken, anything with a little bit of spicy chicken and some ranch, not the blue cheese, I'm totally in for, right? That is my favorite food, and I'm always looking for that. That's my go-to anywhere. If I'm not sure what I'm hungry for, what I want to eat, it's going to be buffalo chicken something. Around the world, I did a little bit of research, around the world, this is surprising to me, but Google said that most people cite pizza as their favorite food. I guess it makes sense, right? Globally, that is recognized as one of the most popular foods. Makes sense, but let's see if any of these are your favorite. In America, the top contenders for favorite food are hamburgers, cheeseburgers, mashed potatoes, french fries. I mean, I'll take my potatoes, I like that. I'll take my potatoes anyway, I don't care. Fried, mashed, whatever, potatoes, fried chicken, grilled cheese. Right? Anybody hungry now? Those are some of the top things, right? And it's so interesting when you think about just how central food is in society and culture, right? When you think about that, a lot of research has been done and gone into how food connects us to our heritage and to people around us, and how food helps us to express who we are, right? Food bonds communities. Food builds relationships. Think about all the times that you've had people gathered together, okay? Maybe it has been like a holiday, maybe it's been a party, maybe it's been some kind of meeting or some kind of thing where you've had more than one person together, right? Maybe food was there, right? 9 times out of 10, food was probably there. Food was served in one of those places where you were gathered. And I don't know about you, but I am always looking for ways to add food to gatherings. I just am. I'm always looking for ways. I'm like, oh, we're going to have this. We need some snacks. Oh, we're going to do that. We need some food. Our India meeting today, where's Carlton? I saw him. Our India meeting today, right? I was like, I'll bring the snacks. So if you're thinking of coming, there'll be snacks. Right? And so I'm always thinking, how can I add food to this meeting, or coffee to this meeting? And so with my new role here at the church, I've been joking, as I've been getting to know a lot of you and hang out with you and see you, I've been joking that I have been literally feeling like I am eating and drinking coffee my way through the congregation and also the MOT area, because I've been to some pretty sweet places over the past couple weeks. And honestly, like, it's been great. Like, I have loved every meal, every cute little restaurant, every little coffee shop that I've been to with each and every one of you. It's been awesome. I was also at another place a couple weeks ago. Anybody like Hobby Lobby? Right? Super cute store. I was there a couple weeks ago, and they always have like the cutest quirky signs, don't they? About like the most random things. And so I was there and I passed a sign and it said, "Nothing brings people together like a good meal." Right? Right? Maybe you've seen something like that. And you know what? It's true. Jean-Pierre Poulon is a French anthropologist, sociologist, who has been studying this idea of food in society and cultures. And this is what he says. He says, "It is by the cuisine and the table manners that the most fundamental social training takes place, and by which society transmits and allows the internalization of its values. It is by food that social bonds are interwoven and kept." Food's a big deal in our lives, right? But just like we've done in the past 2 weeks, where we're talking about the thing, but there's actually more to the thing, it's the same today with this series last week in Soul Food, right? The first week we talked about the ingredients, but it was about much more than that. We were talking about following the recipe that God has for our lives, right? And then last week, as we were talking about the process and letting it cook, we were actually talking about God working in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives and allowing God to kind of move in us through that process, letting it simmer. And so today, we're not just talking about the food, because you'd be really hungry by the time you left here today, right? Today, we're not talking about just the eating of the meal, but we're talking about serving and the service behind that meal. So I want you to think about the last meal that you ate. Think about that, all right? Who served you this meal? What went into preparing for this meal? Now, it may have been like a quick bowl of cereal running out the door that you served yourself, right? A granola bar that you grabbed in the car on the way. My go-to breakfast is a couple cups of coffee. It may have been a meal that you went out for this weekend or over the last week, a meal that you went to a sit-down restaurant and somebody served you, and if you actually thought about it, probably dozens of hands and people helped prepare what you got set right in front of you, right? What goes into serving a meal? Like, if you really think about all the details. So no matter if you're talking about eating at home or eating out, a lot goes into a meal and serving and preparing it, right? So think about this. There's the food itself, right? The lists that have to be made so you can go to the store, find the food, buy the food, take the food home, okay? You have to get that food, you have to get the ingredients, you have to cook it, you have to mix it, you have to get it all together, right? And let's not forget, you've got to have a clean table and clean dishes, go figure, to eat on, right? All of this preparation, right? And all of this time and all of this energy that takes even for a simple meal, right? Even a bowl of cereal, you've got to have a clean cereal bowl. You've got to have a clean spoon. You've got to have a box of cereal and not be completely out of milk, right? Even there takes a little bit of preparation even for something so simple. I love when I get home from work after a long day, and what is the first thing my kids ask me? What's for dinner, right? What's for dinner? And so I walk in the door and that's what I'm hit with. And I'm looking around and I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. I've gotta do that again. And so as I'm standing there figuring out what's for dinner, making something, right? All parents know what comes next is even a better feeling when you finally figure out what's for dinner and you tell your kids what it is and then their response is, ugh, right? Or sometimes, again, we just had that for dinner. Right, parents, we see you, we know you. We know the struggle, it's real. right, because even the simplest meal that you're gonna make for your family or you're gonna find somewhere takes preparation, even if it's just a little bit. And so if preparation is the act of getting ready, then serving is the act of doing it for someone else. And the two kind of go together, don't they? Because what would be the point of preparing a large, delicious meal like we saw some of those chefs putting together? What would be the point of making this delicious food and then not eating it, not serving it to somebody? Right? And conversely, how would you even be able to serve somebody a meal if you haven't prepared, if you don't have anything for them, if you haven't thought about it? And so the same can be said about our hearts and our spiritual lives. Because God has called each and every one of us to serve. You've heard that, right? You've probably heard that a lot. God has called all of us to serve. But how? How has he called us to serve? We must be prepared and we must be ready to do that. So how do we prepare, right? We know how we prepare a meal, but how do we prepare our hearts and our lives to serve? And how do we serve like God has called us to serve? That's what we're going to unpack today, because preparing to serve comes from knowing how to serve. So we're going to do that this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be hanging out in the book of 1 Peter. If you don't, they're going to be up on the screen for you to check out as well. 1 Peter is a really great book. Check it out. It's pretty short. It's 5 chapters. It's not too long. And it is a letter written by Peter as he's talking to God's chosen people. And he wrote this letter to them as they were foreigners living in the Asia Minor kind of area, which is known today as Turkey, modern day Turkey. So to kind of visualize that for you. And so he's writing them, and this is what he says. I'm going to lay some framework so you know kind of where we're going out of this. And so right in the beginning, chapter 1, verse 2, Peter says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. That's what he starts with, because he's writing to these believers and he's reminding them that they are set apart, that even though they're in a land where they don't belong, right, they are chosen. Even where they don't think they are where they should be, there's a reason, right? And that they are chosen, and they've been chosen long before. And God the Father knows and loves them deeply. And so it's understanding that context that we're in today, right? Where we can also see throughout the rest of the letter that he's encouraging them and reminding them to live these lives of holiness. And that in doing so, guess what? They're going to be mistreated as they're doing that. And he encourages them to have the same attitude as Jesus in chapter 4, verse 1, and to be prepared that suffering will come just as suffering came to Jesus. We're going to talk a little bit more about the suffering part later. But in verse 8, he reminds them that the most important thing to do is to constantly show love towards one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Okay, so I want you to understand that's where this next phrase is coming from. It's coming from love. It's coming from a place of encouragement. It's coming from what Peter is speaking this life and this joy into these people. And so today we're going to be hanging out in chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, because this is what Peter says next. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. I think that these two verses really give us a great framework and really help us to prepare to serve. They give us that insight. So we're going to break these two verses down today with three major points, right? And point number one is that the gifts God has given you are unique and individual to you and your calling. All right, we just read that. We just read that in chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So as we're preparing to serve, we need to recognize and realize that the gifts that God has given us are unique. They're special. They're individual to you and who you are. Yes, you. You out there who thinks you're not good at anything, you are. You have a gift, and God has given it to you. And he loves you, and it's special. And he's given you that gift, go figure, on purpose, because he has a plan for you. And he gave that to you for a reason. Your impact with your gifts and what you do is different than my impact, right? Your sphere of influence is different than mine. Your friends are different than mine. Where you find yourself in the workplace or throughout the week is different than where I do, right? And nobody has that same impact where you are as you, right? And so think about it this way. I think sometimes we play the comparison game, don't we? And social media is really great at helping us do that, because we will look at somebody else and we'll say, man, I wish I had the gift that she had. She is just so gifted at fill in the blank, right? Or we look at somebody else and we're like, man, he's so great. I wish I had his gifts, right? I wish I had that. And that doesn't help us. That doesn't help us figure out how to use our gift when we just are comparing our gift and the gift that we've been given to those around us, right? You have your gift for a reason. Yeah. And just because you don't have the gift that somebody else has doesn't make you weaker. Doesn't make you any less of a Christian, right? It's just simply not your gift. The Bible has several different places where it mentions spiritual gifts. And so if you want, we're going to flip quickly to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, where Paul is basically echoing the same thing that Peter just said. The same thing we just read in 1 Peter, Paul echoes in 1 Corinthians, where he says in verses 4 through 6 that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. Right? We are the same, yet different. We have the same central calling as a Christian, right? That same calling is to spread the love of Jesus, to connect Jesus, right? With the new life that he offers, connect people to that, right? But we have different ways of doing it. We're not the same. Our calling is the same, but the way that we do it is different, right? We love and we serve the same God, but he has distinctly created you to do it in your way. Now, I want to be clear on something here from the beginning, because I think sometimes we, as Christians, we can use our spiritual gift actually, and this might be a little offensive, but we sometimes use our spiritual gift as a cop-out, as an excuse. We use our spiritual gifts as a way to avoid challenges or uncomfortability, because maybe we'll say, well, I do not have the gift of evangelism. I'm not called to evangelize. I'm just going to go park cars in the parking lot. Right? Or we say, no, I can't teach. I'm not called to teach and preach and say all that kind of stuff. I'm going to go, you know, hold some doors and pour some coffee. Now, don't get me wrong. Holding doors, pouring coffee, parking cars, those are great gifts of hospitality. And if that is your gift and you have done that today or in the past, awesome. That's great. But we can't just use what we say our gifts are not as an excuse not to reach people for Jesus. Amen? Because we all have that calling, and we're all called to do that. So whether your gift is to preach or teach or evangelize or not, it's not just the people you see on this stage that are called to do that. We're all called to spread Jesus' love everywhere we are. Now, we could spend an entire sermon series, and maybe you have, and maybe we will someday, but we could spend an entire series breaking down and looking at all the different spiritual gifts, because there's a lot of them. And some people talk about there being 5 of them, some people talk about there being 12 of them, and you can check out, there's some great places you can check out spiritual gifts in the Bible. We're not going to go through all of them today. If you were in 1 Corinthians 12, you'd see gifts like words of wisdom, knowledge, faith, did these sound familiar, right? Miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. You would also, if you went to Ephesians 4, you'd see some other gifts that are laid out in there, where Paul states that Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? But the point I'm making right now is not how many gifts there are, or who has what gifts, or specifically what these gifts are even intended to do. Because like I said, that would be an entire other thing, right? But the main point I want you to understand when we're talking about these spiritual gifts today is this. Your gifts are unique and special to you. We are a part of the same body, but we have different parts. No one else can do what you can do for the kingdom. I want to say that part again because that just hits me so good. No one else can do what you can do for the kingdom. It's true. And so not only are our gifts unique to us, but our second point today is that we are called to use those gifts with all that we've got. Right? 1 Peter says in verse 11, do it with all the strength and energy. We read that this morning, right? We're called to not just use our gifts, but to use them with the strength and energy that we have wholeheartedly to serve other people. We're called to build up the body of Christ, to serve the mission, to go out there with all that we are and all that we have and love other people. But do we actually do that? Like, if we're honest, really? How many times are we actually giving with all of our gifts and into our calling? A few weeks ago, I preached on our first love, and we talked about love and loving out of duty. And sometimes we do the same thing with serving, and we serve out of duty. Right? We aren't serving because we find joy in using our gifts. We're serving because we feel like we have to. Right? How many times do we serve because, well, you know, I'm a member of this church, and that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm serving because I would like to be a member of this church. I've been coming here long enough. I think, you know, that it's my duty. It's time I serve. And that's great. We need volunteers, but that's not what we're talking about today, right? We're not saying, oh, well, nobody else signed up to greet next week, so I guess I'll do it, right? Or, oh, I really didn't want to have to volunteer in the nursery every month, but if they need me, I'll do it. Right? And so I want to be clear on this as well. We're not just called to use our gifts within these walls. We do a pretty good job of that, right? It's pretty easy most of the time to use our gifts here with each other, with people who are also using their gifts, right? But we're called to use our gifts out there, to use our gifts in the community, to use our gifts in our homes, to use our gifts in our workplaces. And do we do that? Do we use our gifts outside these walls, right? Or is it more like, you know what? Like, good enough is good enough, right? Or how about this one? You know, I'm not really paid to do that. Right? And if you're anything like me, and you can ask my husband because this can be true, right? I know I do, right? We might tend to give our best out there at work or give our best out there with our friends or give our best in the community. And then when we get home, it's the end of the day and we're tired and we forget that our gifts even exist, right? Our gifts do apply in our home. And so when we use our gifts to serve, we're not serving from a place of obligation. We're serving from a place of joy in knowing that God created us to serve uniquely in this way. And guess what? That takes effort. That takes energy. That takes strength, like Peter's saying, right? But where does Peter say that energy and strength comes from? Does it just come from ourselves? What did he say? What did we just read? He said, the strength and energy that God supplies. We can't do anything without God. Not only would we not have the gifts that we have without God, but we wouldn't have the strength or the energy to use them. And I think that there might be some of you out there that understand that, right? Some of you have gifts that might exhaust you. Some of you might have gifts that you're not sure you can use each day. Some of you might have gifts that you wake up in the morning and you're like, God, I know that you've prepared me and my heart and my life to do this, but I need your help. If you know, you know. Those gifts that are really hard, and the only way they happen is because the Holy Spirit is working inside of you to serve through you and make it happen. Now, we've all heard the saying here, if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, the same thing is not applicable to spiritual gifts, right? But Paul does warn us, and the Bible is full of telling us how we are called to be good stewards. And that's not just with our time. It's not just with our funds and our money, right? But we're called to be good stewards of our gifts as well. Paul warns Timothy in his first letter, do not neglect the spiritual gift you have received. And when Paul writes Timothy a second time in 2 Timothy, he reminds him again, mentioning Timothy's faith, and he says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God has given you. We need to use our gifts. We need to use them fully and wholeheartedly. We need to reach that potential that God has for us. We're not supposed to neglect them. We're not supposed to just leave them up there on the shelf. Right? We're supposed to, right? Paul says, fan into flame. I'm going to say stir it up for today, right? We're supposed to stir it up and use it as an act of service to God. Because really, isn't that what our spiritual gifts are all about? Our last point today is just that. It's all for God. And it's all about bringing him glory. All of it. Every last thing that we do is meant to bring him honor and glory. From every chair you set up, to every encouraging word that you say, every time you welcome somebody into your home, or you practically support or assist somebody, it's all for Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about using my gift. It's about him. And Peter ends his thoughts about using the gifts by saying this in verse 11. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Nothing we do, no way that we use our gifts is ever about us. None of it. All of it is to be used to bring glory to God. It's not for self-promotion or to show others how awesome we are. It's not like, oh, look at me, I'm serving, right? It's not about being seen doing the good thing so people think that you're a good Christian. That's not what serving is about. It's simply about using what God has given you to bring glory back to God. And here's another kind of hard part that might rub some of us the wrong way, is it's not a matter of if we feel like it, right? If we want to, if we feel like it, that doesn't matter. Because he tells us that we are called to serve no matter what. We need to be prepared. Because remember what Peter shared in the beginning of the book? That it's not a matter of if we're persecuted as Christians. It's a matter of when. Right? And he encourages the believers in his last chapter, in chapter 5, verse 12, when he says, my purpose for writing is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in this grace. Because guess what? We're called to serve when it hurts. We're called to serve when it's inconvenient. We're called to serve when it's embarrassing. We are called to serve all the time, no matter what. We serve through and despite the suffering because that's what Jesus did for us, right? God served us. He saved us through the gift of his son who suffered and bled and died for us so that we could have eternal life with him. Right? And no amount of suffering, no amount of embarrassment or inconvenience or whatever we do is anything in comparison to the suffering that Jesus did for us. And Peter says that we need to stand firm in that grace. And that's what we need to do. When we're tired, when we're hungry, when we don't feel like it, it doesn't matter because we serve uniquely through our gifts with all we have to bring him glory. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him. So we're going to finish with this. I think we've cooked this meal pretty good. We had the right ingredients, right? We stirred it up. We let it simmer. And we talked a lot about how we serve, right? We know that we need to serve. And we know why we serve. And I love application stuff like this where we can just really lay it out, like who, what, where, when, why, right? But how? How do we serve? I've got this great meal. How do I serve it? And so I want you to think about this. How does what we're talking about today translate to you personally? Here as a member and a frequent attender of CCC, but also out there in our community. You have a unique gift that you are called to use and to serve, not just within our walls, but also in the community. And so my question is, are you using it? Are you? I love that the culture we have here at CCC is all about carrying the towel, and that is so great. And just by looking out here and seeing a lot of you, and I know there's even more of you online who you can see me, but I can't see you, I know that there are dozens of you who are out here. Many of you, you're already serving, right? You're already using your gifts here and out there in great ways, and that's awesome. You're taking your gifts and you're putting them into action, and that's great, right? Many of us might not even know all the ways that people serve around here, right? There's people who volunteer in the church office regularly. There's people who pull weeds and make our grounds look good. There's people who serve on ministry teams and administration teams, right? There's people who assist and encourage others at the countless support groups that we offer here throughout the week. There are people who send cards. There's people who make phone calls. There's people who do visits. There's people who give transportation and help. Right? There's so many people here, and you guys are doing a great job of assisting and meeting and being the hands and feet of Jesus, and that's great. But I'm not even sure a lot of us, I think myself included, even understand what it takes to make a morning like this even happen. This is just a regular Sunday morning, and all that goes on behind the scenes to make that happen. So think about all the ways that you've been served since you even came in the door today, right? From parking your car, to walking through an open door, to getting your coffee, grabbing something, meeting a smiling face, a handshake, a hug, right? So much has gone into it. And dozens of people here serve every Sunday morning, and many of that goes unnoticed. And you know what? Good. Because it's not why they do it. But my question for you is, how are you serving? And I want you to understand that this is not a message that's about trying to find more volunteers, okay? But how are you using the gifts that God has given you to serve? Because it's not about you, it's about Him. And so what we've been working on kind of behind the scenes this week, and a lot of awesome faithful servants who have been working on this from behind the scenes, is how can we as a church help you know your gifts and serve with your gifts? Because many of you out there might not know. And so we created something this week that is our very own CCC Spiritual Gifts Assessment. And it's this really cool thing that is completely online that you can take, and it can help you to discern your gifts. It's on the church website. It's QR code right here. There's flyers in the lobby. But this is the reason why. Because part of your faith journey and understanding what God has for you is knowing yourself and knowing what you're called to do. And what's really cool is after I preached this message at 9 o'clock, my phone was already blowing up with people who took the survey already, which is pretty cool. They were excited about it, right? And so we came up with this as a way that you can learn more about yourself and how you can serve. And it literally takes like 7 minutes, and it's really pretty neat. And I don't want to say this part because this might scare you, but I'm going to say it because I gotta, right? When you take this, you don't have to send us your answers. You don't have to mail them in, because you're going to get an email that's going to say, here's your top 3 gifts, and then here's all your other gifts and where they fall. But we are also going to get an email so we can see your gifts too. Right? Because we're here to help you. We're here to help plug you in. And like I said, it's not about getting more volunteers. How are we serving out there? How are we being disciples of Jesus Christ, right, out there? And so this assessment, this process, this is going to help us in 3 different ways. And we are actually encouraging everybody to take it. Everybody. Right? Part of being a member here, our members take it before they join, but we're encouraging everybody to take it, and there's 3 reasons. Number 1, your gifts can shift and change over time. It's true. Gifts that maybe were like 4th or 5th on your list, as you go through life, as you learn things, as you grow and develop, those gifts can shift, and a gift that was maybe 4 or 5 might be 2 or 3 by now, right? They change. They shift. They kind of move around, right? And it can be really important for you to understand what your gifts are. Number two, maybe you've already done this kind of a survey, but you've never let the church know, hey, I'm actually gifted in this weird thing called administration, right? And so we want to help you. We want to be another part of that tool of your discipleship to say, wow, if you have this gift of wisdom or this gift of discernment, have you ever considered doing this? Have you ever considered volunteering here or there or out in our community? We want to help you get plugged in. And again, it's not about just plugging in here. It's about plugging in out there. And number three, we want you to be able to be using and reaching your full potential for what God has for you. Right? We want you to know what God has for you and to know how to be used, not just within the church, but also outside those walls. And so when you leave here today, you're going to see a table right out there, and there's going to be a few volunteers, some smiling faces out there, and they're going to also have what we're calling a menu. See what we did there? A menu for you, because we're trying to make it really easy that as you're discerning your calls and your call and your gifts, and you're trying to figure out what you're meant to do, right? We want to make it easy. So on this menu, there's going to be on the front, there's going to be a list of all the different ways that people serve here at church, which is great. That's awesome. And if you flip it over, you're going to see what gifts match those different areas. So if you're like, you know what, I really do have the gift of faith or the gift of teaching, how would that look within the church? But at the bottom of that page, you're also going to see, what does it look like to have the gift of discernment out there? What does it look like to have the gift of service and helps out in the real world? You're going to check out that We Serve menu, and it's going to give you some suggestions of ways that you can use your gifts within the church and without outside the walls out there in this church. Because remember, this is not about volunteering, right? I'd be lying if I said, you know what? We would love to have a couple more volunteers here and there, right? We would. We would never be like, no, we have enough, right? Especially if you check out children and youth stuff going on, right? They're always looking for more volunteers. But that's not why we're doing it. Because if you do these gifts assessments and you realize, wow, I could really be using my gift in my workplace like this, that's awesome. If you use your gifts within the church, great. I love that. We need that. But if you use your gifts out there, that's even better. That's even better. We're doing all of this because we want to be disciples of Jesus who are reaching our full potential. We want to reach those around us like we should. And you know, like, one of the worst things that could happen is if we all just became a clump, a gathering of really complacent people. If we just became apathetic. If we just became the kind of Christians who were warned about in the Bible as being lukewarm, that wouldn't be great, right? We want to be passionate. We want to be passionate in our faith, passionate in our serving, passionate in our love. We want to be out there serving no matter what, making disciples of Jesus who love extravagantly and witness boldly. I mean, that's what I want. Is that what you want? Do you want to make a difference out there? Like, do we care? Do we want to see people's hearts and lives transformed? Or, you know what, it's good enough. So if that's you, and you want to dive in deeper, and you want to find out more about yourself and your calling and what God has for you, then do that. Take that. Stop at the table. Pick up a menu. Take it with you. Reach out to us at the office. Reach out so that we can help plug you in, because we want you to realize that when you're serving, like we're out there and we're doing the giving, but we're getting so much more, right? Let's pray. God, thank you for serving us. Thank you for giving us your son and for the ultimate sacrifice that you showed us and the love that you've given us. God, thank you. We don't deserve it, but God, we want to serve. We want to love. We want to follow what you have in our hearts and our lives. And so, God, I pray that you would send us out, that you would show us how we can be your disciples in this world, God, that you would reveal to us our gifts and our strengths, and that we would be able to just go out there and love the world like you've uniquely called us to. God, I pray that this would stir in us, and this would create within us this desire to know you more and to serve you more. Because we love you, and it's really all about you. It's not about us, but it's all about just trying to give back to you what you gave to us already, because we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.